Proverbs chapter 12. We're continuing our series that we've been in this summer in the Ten Commandments, and this morning we come to commandment number 9, Exodus 20:16, which says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." So just to set the stage for that, we're not going to preach from Proverbs chapter 12, but just to give us some context, follow along as I read beginning at verse 13 of Proverbs 12. "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." Father, we pray that you open our eyes to your word. Father, in this area of honesty and truthfulness and integrity, Lord, where we all struggle and we all come up short, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of truth. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we need, Father, your truth this morning and to be people of truth. So bless your word as it goes forth. Lord, we need to hear from you. This is not the word of man. It is your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Exodus 20, verse 16. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Someone has written a little article called Famous American Fibs. Famous American Fibs. How many of these have you heard? The check is in the mail. How about this? You get this one, I'll pay next time. Or this: trust me, I'll take care of everything. Famous American Fibs. I never watch television except for PBS. Famous American Fibs. I'll call you later. I've never done anything like this before. Money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. I remember that one. This offer limited to the first 100 people who call in. Sorry, we can't come to the phone right now. Those famous answering machines. Famous American Fibs. Whatever happened to honesty and credibility and integrity? From the Oval Office to organized religion, a crisis of credibility. A U.S. president who, on national television, made false statements to the American people about activities in the Oval Office. The recent spate of CEOs and accountants in America overseeing cooking the books, massaging the figures and the spreadsheets. Witnesses on the courtroom stand lying. Newspaper reporters, whether the New York Times or other small town newspapers, concocting, making up stories as if they were real and publishing it as fact. organized religion, dealing with issues of integrity and telling the truth and cover-ups and so on. Whatever happened to honesty and credibility? In a book, The Day Americans Told the Truth, the authors said that based on their extensive survey, the book came out a number of years ago, 91% of those surveyed in America said they lie routinely about matters they consider trivial. 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie regularly to their parents. 75% lie to friends. 73% lie to their siblings. And 68% lie to their spouses. No wonder USA Today recently had a cover, or not a cover story, it was on the front page of the sports section, Sports Crisis of Credibility. And the writer said how it's an unusual time in professional sports where in the three major sports leagues in America, whether it's Major League Baseball, crisis of credibility. Did he or did he not take steroids? He says no, many think he did. The new home run king. National Basketball Association, refs fixing the games and betting, affecting the outcome of games. Football, Michael Vick, drowning dogs, dogfighting, betting on it, and so on. Crisis of credibility. Whatever happened to truth? Well, the truth is still there, but what's happened to credibility and integrity and honesty? No wonder. A few years ago, U.S. News and World Report had a cover story that we are a nation of liars. After a coach at a major university was released after just a day or two on the job, released because of false info on his resume, the brother of this disgraced coach said this, quote, "Is anyone trying to tell me that resumes are truthful? In the America we live in, the willingness to lie on a resume is an indication of how much you want the job," unquote. And therefore, I guess, should be applauded. It seems to me that the prophet Isaiah, writing 2,500 years ago, had a pretty accurate picture of America. Obviously, the Word of God. Isaiah wrote in chapter 59, verse 14 and 15, "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey." Let's think this morning about this ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. First of all, why is telling the truth so important? Why is telling the truth so important? Number one, because God commands truthfulness. Because God commands truthfulness. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth commandment. The NIV renders it, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Now, the primary application of the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness or false testimony," the primary application is in the courtroom. It's, you're under oath, you're on the stand, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You see, 3,500 years ago, when the law was given through Moses, there were no CSI labs to get at forensic evidence. There was no DNA testing. And so you had courts of law where a man's, literally his life or his death depended on the truthfulness of the witness. And if you gave false witness in a court of law hundreds, thousands of years ago, a person could go to death, to the death sentence because of your false testimony. God said, by the way, that's why on the testimony of just one witness, a man could not be put to death. Needed two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. By the way, God said that if someone gave false testimony against their neighbor in a courtroom setting, and then it was found out to be false, he said, "You shall do to him as he had intended to do to his brother." Deuteronomy 19, verses 18 and 19. You see, lying under oath is serious. It is deadly serious at times. But this ninth commandment does not just apply to the courtroom. No, no. It applies to all forms of dishonesty. Remember when we studied commandment number 6? You shall not murder. And we said that is the extreme form of all of the category that commandment was intended to prohibit. Types of behavior. Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart, if you have anger in your heart towards someone, you are guilty of breaking the commandment. Remember when we studied commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Well, adultery is the most grievous form of sexual sin. The betrayal of trust and so on. Forgivable. Healing can come and so on, but a serious, serious sin. But that seventh commandment included all the other forms of sexual immorality and impurity. And so here, all forms of dishonesty are prohibited. And remember, as we've studied the commandments, the thou shalt nots always include the flip side, the you shall. So, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You means you shall be utterly truthful in all of your dealings, speaking truth, acting with integrity, and so on. The New Testament reiterates it again and again. For example, Ephesians 4:25, speak truth. There's a positive. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self. Why is telling the truth so important? Because God commands it, first of all. But secondly, because God loves truthfulness. God loves the truth, and He loves truthfulness. It pleases Him. The Bible says lying lips, we read it a little bit ago, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal faithfully are His what? His delight. Proverbs 12:22. He desires truth in the innermost being. Psalm 51:6. We are to be honest in what we say, what we write, and what we do. Why is telling the truth so important? Thirdly, because God is utterly truthful. It's the character of God. It's His very nature. He, first of all, Father God, is the God of truth. Isaiah 65, verse 16. The Bible says it is impossible for God the Father to lie. Hebrews 6, 18. And Titus 1, verse 2. He cannot lie. Max Lucado says, just as a dog cannot fly and a bird cannot bark, it's contrary to their nature. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He is utterly truthful and faithful. Jesus is the one who came full of grace and truth. John 1:14, He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6. God always speaks truth. He always keeps His word. You can take it to the bank. He cannot lie. His word is truth. He is truth. And because of that, those of us who've been adopted into His family are to bear the family likeness and be people of truth. You see? So when we lie, when we act dishonestly, when we shade the truth, when we exaggerate, and so on, We are sinning against God, who is the God of truth. And if we name the name of Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, He calls us to be people of truth. There's one more reason why the truth is so important, because God hates the lie, plain and simple. Proverbs 6, 17 and 19 says, there are 6 things which the Lord hates, yea, 7 are an abomination to Him. A lying tongue. A false witness who utters lies. Those are 2 of the 7 there in Proverbs 6, 16. God hates the lie. Why does He hate it? Because He's truth. because it's so contrary to His nature. And as His people, we are to be truthful. Why does God hate the lie? Because it's so contrary to His nature. Secondly, because lying is so destructive. Remember the story from Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira? I believe they were believers in the early church. Early in the infancy, the early time of the church, Acts chapter 5. And people were selling property and bringing it to the leaders of the church and distributing. Then the leaders were distributing it to those who had need. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of ground and brought the proceeds, but they kept some back for themselves. They were okay in doing that. The sin wasn't that they kept some back. The sin was that they wanted everybody to think that they were better than they were. You remember the story. Peter said to Ananias, "Did you sell the land for thus and thus?" Yeah. He lied. And you know the story. Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" God took his life on the spot. Ananias dropped down dead. Later, Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked the question, and she drops dead. Why did God take the lives of those two? I believe He wanted the church to know in its infancy that lying and deception is deadly to the life of a church and relationships. And early on, God sent a big message. The same is true of marriage and friendships. Deceit, if allowed to exist, will slowly erode the fabric of the relationship. The person who experiences, or rather who practices lying and deceit, if he establishes that habit in his life, young people, listen to me, deal with it now in these little areas. Be absolutely honest and truthful, even when it costs you, by the power of the Spirit, because unless you practice that, a callous will come over your heart as you give into the little things, the little white lies, and you begin to habitually lie and shade the truth and stretch the facts and not be accurate. And it's just easier to tell lies, and a callousness comes into where you don't even know that you're doing it anymore. Lying is so destructive. The ultimate destruction, according to the Bible, is that all unrepentant liars will spend eternity in hell. Revelation 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's why God hates lying. Because of His nature and because it is so destructive. That's why telling the truth is so important. Let's think about why we don't tell the truth. Why we don't tell the truth. Three main areas I would submit to you. Number one, first, the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. You know, after you and I are saved, and if you know Jesus Christ today, you continue to battle with the flesh. It says, walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. But we have this flesh nature, this propensity towards evil and wickedness. You see, you and I were born with a heart that is bent on dishonesty. It is bent on not telling the truth. Jeremiah 17:9, listen, it says, the heart is what above all things? The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's not bent towards telling the truth. It's bent towards shading the truth and exaggerating the truth and covering up the truth and twisting the truth. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. After salvation, we still deal with that flesh. But now we have a new power, right? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not carry out the lust of the flesh. But think with me as we think about the desires of the flesh. How does that flesh manifest itself? And then that's a temptation to lie. That's that motivation to lie. Number one, hatred. Out of that heart of wickedness, that spirit, that flesh, if you will. Hatred. Proverbs 26 verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes. So you hate someone or you despise someone, you're going to be tempted to lie and to say things that aren't true or to say the truth in a way that's meant to harm their reputation. Love will speak the truth about others and do what's best for others. Someone said, truth without love is not truth. And love without truth is not love. Secondly, the flesh manifests itself in fear. Fear, you know, out of that fleshly nature, that old nature, comes fear. Fear of man, fear of consequences, fear of failure. And so we lie, we shade the truth to make it easier for ourselves, to save face because of the fear of man that comes from that old nature. Thirdly, greed. The flesh manifests itself in greed. We want more, so we're willing to lie, to be dishonest, to gain an advantage because of greed and covetousness. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Commandment 10. Don't miss it. When God looks at the heart and the covetous spirit within us. A few years ago, a number of years ago, up here at Okoboji somewhere, a man, a businessman, I think he was a city councilman maybe, caught this fish that had been tagged. It was the $10,000, maybe a walleye, I'm not sure, but it was tagged. And whoever caught it won the $10,000 prize. He caught it. Problem was, he hadn't entered the contest. But he knew somebody who had, took the fish and said, hey, buddy, here, claim it as your own. We'll split the prize. You know, the Bible says, truthful lips will abide forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Be sure your sin will find you out. What a disgrace. But greed. And so the flesh, wanting more. So we lie. We don't tell the truth. Fourth, the flesh manifests itself in pride, right? Pride that comes from that heart of deceit. And so we embellish the truth. We want to impress others. We want to look good because we're insecure. And so we embellish and exaggerate things to make ourselves look better. The second reason we don't tell the truth is the temptation of Satan. First of all, the flesh, but then the temptation of Satan. The Bible says Satan is what? He's the liar and he's the father of lies. John 8:44. Satan is a great deceiver. In the garden, remember the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He deceived Eve. He said, has God really said, Eve, has God really said, indeed, has God said you shouldn't eat from all the trees of the garden? What was he doing? He's saying, you know, God can't be trusted. He can't be trusted. And then he said, Eve, you shall not die. God said, in the day you eat of it, Eve, you will die. And Satan said, you will not die. What was he saying? God's word cannot be trusted. God's word is not true. That's his mission today. He continues the same activity today in the world. Ultimately, every lie in the world can be traced back to the father of lies. You trace it back far enough. Ananias and Sapphira, Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart? And they were believers. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then thirdly, the reason we don't tell the truth is we're influenced by the world. It's the influence of the world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. Satan is the god of this world, right? He presides over the kingdom of darkness. No wonder the culture is increasingly saturated with dishonesty and deception and lying. Our society is sometimes called a postmodern society. Chuck Colson, in an article some years ago, called it a post-truth society. Indeed, as Alan Bloom wrote in his book, The Closing of the American Mind, he said, quote, almost every student entering the university believes, or says he believes, that truth is relative. In other words, there's no objective truth. More and more people believe that, even within the church, the organized religious establishment today, that there's no objective truth that is timeless, authoritative, and unchanging. Truth to many is simply one's personal feelings or opinion. Satan attacked the truth in the garden. Has God said, you will not die? He was attacking the confidence in the Word of God, and that is his mission today. Eve, your opinion is just as good as God's. You see, people today in the world says, the Bible, I mean, well, that's just one more. Who's to say that's right? Who's behind that? The enemy, Satan. That the Bible is just man's opinion. It's not the truth. God says it is. Jesus said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Continues to today. The world says there's no objective standard of truth. Pastor Colin Smith says that Satan has taken the world, he's the God of this world, he's taken the world from the garden to the jungle. From the garden to the jungle. And I quote him, he says, loss of confidence in the existence of truth is the single most destructive force in our postmodern society. Wow. Loss of confidence in the existence of truth. He says, quote, ultimately the loss of truth leads to a society in which the most powerful opinion wins. That's the law of the jungle. So Satan has taken us from the garden where God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall die. And Satan has taken us from the garden to the jungle where now it's every man doing what's right in his own eyes. No king in Israel. No objective standard of truth, the world says. That's the jungle. Strongest opinion, loudest voice wins. Is the world influencing the church? That the Bible is just someone's opinion? I think it is. As Western culture moves away from the truth, organized religion has followed. Think of it. In the church, the Christian church, things that have been accepted as true for centuries are now being questioned and thrown out the window. Homosexuality, gay marriage, and the church is now beginning to embrace it and celebrate it. Or that the truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And now even within the church, it's being held forth that, you know, other ways are probably just as valid. The truth. And you see, among true believers, if you're a true believer today, you have to be very careful, or you and I will be influenced by what's happening in the world. And you and I can lose confidence in the Word of God. Is it sufficient? Is it sufficient, this Word of truth, to address every situation, every issue, every problem, every need? You know what's happening in the church? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can trust it. I'm not sure it's adequate. Colin Smith says, losing confidence in God's word is always the prelude to departing from it. Well, those are reasons people don't tell the truth, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Thirdly, consider the ways that we do not tell the truth. Ways that we do not tell the truth. You know, there are many ways to lie, many ways to violate this ninth commandment. And remember, we said that it's more than just giving false statements on the witness stand. I read this week, by the way, I think it was Alan Dershowitz, the law professor at Harvard. He said that, in his opinion, the number one felony in America today, the number one felony committed is perjury and giving false statements. Probably right. But this ninth commandment is more than that. We lie in many ways. Number one, slander and gossip. You know, in some ways, brothers and sisters, is this the acceptable evangelical sin, if you will? God help us. Slander and gossip is sin. It violates the command to not bear false witness. We enter into it so easily, so comfortably, when we talk about others who are not there. Slander, of course, is making defamatory statements about others, about their character and their reputation. If you put it in print, then it's libel. It's an attack on their reputation. Gossip is this. It's the unnecessary sharing of information about another person. It may be true or untrue. It may be fact or rumor. But it's unnecessary. It injures the reputation of those that are spoken about. Someone said gossip is saying things that we'd never say if the person was present. I mean, they're not there to defend themselves, to explain their motives, to explain the circumstances. The Bible says the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Proverbs 18:8. Someone said, no matter how tasty gossip is, it is still poison. Have you passed along a juicy tidbit lately that you shouldn't have? I heard they're having an affair. Someone said he cheated him in the deal. Oh, you didn't know their marriage is on the rocks? We need to ask ourselves, does this need to be said? Does it need to be said to this person? What if that person were here? Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Why is it that we would rather hear something bad about someone, some juicy morsel, than something good? It's because of that self-centered heart, that flesh that apart from Christ and apart from grace is so bent on evil. Pascal said, quote, if all men knew what others say of them, there would not be four friends in the world. Think about that. To be of the truth means that you think and you say the best about others. The truth, not what's untrue, but the truth. You think things that are noble and right and pure and true. Loving our neighbor means being truthful in what we say to them and about them. It's so difficult to resist rumor and gossip, isn't it? In the church? And yet we must, beloved, we must. If you are in a conversation, you sense it's going that way, stop it. Say, you know, I don't think this is good what we're doing here. Let's stop and pray for this individual. Or ask, you know, have you spoken to this brother? Have you spoken to this sister? If not, we shouldn't be talking about it. Jim Symbol, I've told you this before, Jim Symbol, a pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, says when they bring new members into the church, he addresses them and gives them this charge. And he says, if you as a new member and you hear someone or someone comes to you and says, you know, Pastor Jim, Pastor so-and-so, they did this and that. He says, you stop them, you take them by the hand, you say, listen, Pastor Jim wants to hear your concern and he would want to apologize. He would want to ask your forgiveness for in any way he's hurt you, but you come with me. That's good. Another way we don't tell the truth besides gossip is deception. Deception. Proverbs 24:28 says, do not deceive with your lips. And these can even be true statements that we say with a wink or with a nod or something that gives a wrong impression, injures the reputation of someone. Our hearts are deceitful. They're prone to deceiving. We call in sick when we're not sick and so on. Thirdly, we're dishonest when we flatter. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes and a flattering mouth works ruin. If gossip is saying behind the back what we'd never say to their face. Flattery is saying to their face what we'd never say behind their back. How'd they do? Oh, you were just great. Somebody else asks you, how'd they do? So-so. That's flattery. Be honest. Be kind, but, you know, be honest. It's insincere. It's false words to another. Fourthly, exaggeration. Are you given to exaggeration? Oh, how we like to do that. Why? Makes us look better. Exaggeration, the distortion of the truth. We embellish. You know, to tell a tall tale, that's not what we're talking about. A tall tale to entertain, you know, we embellish. We understand that. We're talking about embellishing to make ourselves look better. Exaggerating. Stretching the truth to impress others. That's dishonest. I thought of how easy it is to stretch the truth to make myself look better. Or when someone exaggerates about us and we don't correct them and say, wait a minute, no, I didn't do all that. And then just carelessness with the facts. Fifthly, carelessness with the facts. How easy to become slipshod and careless with the facts. And, you know, that's where these habits can take hold, where we don't even know we're doing it anymore. We become almost pathological liars. So, when someone says, you know, I thought you said you mailed it on the 10th. And we had, well, I meant about in that time period. I thought you said you used my tool only a couple hours. Well, maybe it was 10 or 12. Be truthful. And if you find yourself fudging on the facts and just careless, stop yourself in mid-sentence and say, wait a minute. Let me be perfectly honest and truthful. And begin to undo those habits and those patterns and establish righteous, truthful patterns. Do that with your children, moms and dads. Do it with your children while they're young. Don't let them say that they saw it out of this window when it was that window, and so on. And then lastly, silence. We are to be people of the truth, and sometimes we can be dishonest by our silence. Recently, I heard someone saying things about someone in my presence that wasn't true. And I said, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I understand to be true. Oh. See, when you're silent and you don't speak what you know to be true and someone is being ground up and their reputation is being sullied, to be silent is to be dishonest. Then fourthly, how do we begin to tell the truth very quickly? First of all, you have to know the truth. We have to know the truth. We will never seek to tell the truth if we don't know the truth. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. See, we're born with a heart that is in bondage to dishonesty. It's in bondage to lies and deceit. And only Jesus can free us. You shall know the what? The truth. And the truth will set you free. John 8:32. He has the power to free us, His forgiveness, His cleansing, His grace, His life. We have a problem, don't we? In and of ourselves, it's impossible to cure it. It's impossible to correct it. But Christ can set us free. So we need to know Him that is true. We have to be saved. We have to become repentant and receive His forgiveness and be born again, become people of truth. To reject Christ is to reject the truth and to regret it for all eternity. And then, secondly, we must live the truth. Live the truth. Embrace it. Practice it. Let me just mention how we do that. Number one, just continually remember Jesus, who is the truth, who spoke the truth even when it cost Him. Remember Jesus. He never stretched the truth. He was never careless with the facts. He trusted His Father rather than issue a word of deceit or lie to escape the pain. And then commit yourselves to the truth. Psalm 39:1, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. Fourthly, ask God for help. Oh God, give me a truthful heart and truthful lips. Psalm 119:29 is a prayer. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me thy law. And then fourth, go back repentantly and tell the truth to those you lied to. Tell the truth to those you lied to. Make it right. God supports those who tell the truth, even when it's their own temporary loss. But God will support you when you tell the truth. I close with this. George Orwell is reported to have said, in a time, quote, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. He said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And if that is true, then, as Philip Ryken says, Christians are called to be revolutionaries because we live in a culture that is universally given over to deceit. It is woven into the very fabric of society today. This world presided over by the father of lies. So what are we to be? Revolutionaries in a culture of deceit who speak the truth. Cammie's been reading Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, about all of those prison camps. And I read that quote to her, and she said, it cost those people who were willing to speak truth in that day of universal deceit. And to speak the truth was a revolutionary act. And as Christians, we're called to be revolutionaries, to speak the truth, even to our own cost, our own loss, but to be blessed by God in it. May we be people of the truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, once again, this is struck deep within my own heart. Lord, I am too casual with the truth. I am too careless sometimes with the facts. I am given to embellishment. I talk sometimes about others that is unloving. Oh God, forgive us. Bring us to the one who is true, who is truth, who can set us free and help us to walk by the Spirit in the truth that you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.